Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Where the Rubber Hits the Road, and you get honest discernment, no media hype, no false lies, no media rhetoric, no political rhetoric, only facts and truth. This is what this Blog Talk show is all about, a search for truth through the critical use of our faculties. I want to give you a little background about me, you listeners who haven't encountered this show before. This is a politically incorrect show. We are not into political correctness, as I said. We are not into media hype, media lies, media falsehoods, or political rhetoric, but only getting at the truth and getting at the facts through critical use of our faculties, an increasingly rare quest in our politically driven society where people are propagandized into thoughts rather than thinking on their own. I think so. Anyway, I hope it changes, but at this point, that seems to be what's occurring. Second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, and to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And if I'm going to read anything, I'm going to read the great Christian writers such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Eliot, among others, including St. Augustine, and many, many others over the past 2,000 years, including Dante, Milton, and Milton. Milton is one of my favorites. He wrote a fantastic epic poem, Paradise Lost, in which he defined the cosmic and historical event to be the fall of man into sin, and then in Paradise Regained, another epic poem following this, he traced the rescue of man through Christ. He wrote these books, including Agonistes, a Greek tragedy. He wrote these books while I'm blind, which indicates to me the tremendous power of an intellect to produce an epic poem, two epic poems, and a significant Greek model play while blind indicates the significant power of this man's intellect. Second, I run two radio shows, a podcast show, and this Blog Talk radio show. Many are visited from people from all over the world, including many from Muslim countries. In terms of my podcast show, I've had over 4,000 visitors from 76 countries. And in terms of this Blog Talk show, I've had also many visitors from Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, India, Malaysia, Japan, United Kingdom, Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, etc. All over the world, people visit these shows and listen to them. They are frequently visited and listened to. Second thing, the fourth thing is that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, and three of them are Christian books, as is in the Christian Worldview, is a very wide national and international bestseller. In addition, Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy is also a wide seller. And also a book on the parables, and I have posted the 41 interpretations of the parables in that book on my website and social media, all available for you wonderful people to, if you want to understand my interpretation of the parables, however inadequate as a mortal I am to approach the words of Christ and understand them. Nevertheless, I made an attempt. They're also found in academia.edu and can upload it there. I've also written two law books, Select Legal Talks, Volumes 1 and 2, bought by many Ivy League universities. And I have written over 500 blogs, which are available on my website and academia.edu. And these blogs are also fully available on my website and at academia.edu. And they are also often visited by people from Muslim countries. And I must alert you with great pride, and I hope I don't have too much pride because it led to humankind's fall in the Garden of Eden and to Lucifer's being cast out of heaven. So I hope I'm not too prideful, but I am happy that two of my journal articles, one in the Syracuse Law Review, has been bought by the U.S. Supreme Court and by the State Department, as well as universities in China and Japan. And as far as my other major work article, in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, has been bought by the State Department, as well as by universities in China and Japan, and both have been purchased by many European and American universities and others in the world. So, I plan other books. I have just completed a book on the Psalms. I'm looking for a publisher, and I am in the process of reading other books, which will appear eventually. I enjoy writing. It is a task in which I use my mind to present my thoughts to the world for whatever their value they may have. And this particular night, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, in this particular show, I often handle religious issues, Christian issues, political issues. I am generally a backer of President Trump. I think he's a good president. I think the facts show that. I think he'll be reelected, despite what these polls show. I think the polls are essentially false or lies on the part of left-wing ideological media. But I can't prove it, but I think so, because I don't think everybody is for Biden in the whole country by a majority, as these polls indicate. And the other thing I do, I also am a great fan of English literature and literature in general. And many of my topics in this show are English, great English writers such as E.M. Forster, Joseph Conrad, Jane Austen, Sir Walter Scott, Keats, Shelley, Byron, Coleridge, Wordsworth, etc. All you have to do is look at my website and you will see these writers being analyzed. Now tonight I'm going to talk about a very important and profound gospel passage in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. I'm going to ask you to join with me in my interpretation and explanation of this gospel passage. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36, where Jesus gives a new and fuller interpretation, a very deep and profound and full interpretation of the meaning and parameters of love, and presents us in this passage with a more radical understanding of love, who we should love, and who he commands us, the new and growing church, to love. So he radicalizes our understanding of love and makes it fuller and deeper. And that is what is really the parameters and subject of this gospel passage. The parameters of love and Jesus presenting us with a radical understanding, a significantly radical understanding of love, who we should love, and who he commands us, the new and growing church, to love. So let's take a look at this chapter 6 as follows. Jesus says here, I say to you, love your enemies. He says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. He says, give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you would wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love them, then he says, significantly and perceptively, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? He's right. If loving somebody who likes you or loves you is quite easy. He says, for even sinners love those who love them. And that's true. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? He's right. What credit is it to you and me to do good to people who are good to you? Then he says, for even sinners do the same. And then he says, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? You're hoping to get something in return. So he says, you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? And then he says, even sinners lend to sinners to get as much again. So this is a very deep and profound series of saying that we really have to reflect on. And it's most radical and demanding. And he concludes in this passage, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. So he's extending your love to your enemies, doing good and giving and expecting nothing in return. He says your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So this is a very, very deep and profound series of saying, and we should try to understand them. He makes very radical statements. He says that love begins with loving your enemies. Now, that's rather difficult. As he said, loving those who love you or who you like, that's easy. But then he says he makes a radical and demanding requirement of love and defining love deeply and more perceptively. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. So he's really extending the meaning of love. And then he says, if you get stricken on the street, offer the other one. If someone takes away your coat, don't give them your shirt. Again, he's extending the meaning of love and consideration for others. He says, give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask again. Again, he's saying, give to people who beg from you. And if a person takes away your goods, don't ask for them again. Don't ask for anything in return. And if you, he says, as you would wish that men would do, do so to them. And then he perceptively states, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? He's absolutely right. It's the easiest thing in the world. Is that love? No, he says it isn't love. Loving your enemies is love. Doing good to those who hate you is love. Blessing those who curse you is love. Praying for those who abuse you. And then he says, you would wish that men, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And then he ends with the sentence, for even sinners love those who love them. That's easy. He's saying it's extremely easy and common. It doesn't mean too much. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Again, he's perceptively telling us that loving those who love you and doing good to those who good to you is meaningless, because even the most horrible people do this. And then he says, if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Again, he's stressing that lending and getting expecting something back is not quite meaningless. It's not a very moral thing to do. Then he says, even sinners lend to sinners to get things back. He said, we shouldn't lend to get something back, expecting something back. Again, love your enemies, he said, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. He says, do something. This is the true nature of love, loving your enemies, lending and expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And then he says, God is kind to the ungrateful and selfish, but be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So these are very deep and things that we have to really reflect on. He explains that these are radical forms of love beyond our family who love us. It's easy to love in your family. There's no credit there. He says even sinners do that. He says it's easy to do that. He says doing good to those who do good to you is easy, since even sinners do that. He says doing good to those who do good to you, that's easy. It's not real love. There's no credit in lending to those from whom you expect a return, a reward. Again, there's no love in that relationship. There's no credit in lending to those from whom you expect a reward. He says sinners do this, emphasizes loving your enemies and doing good, expecting nothing in return. There are a number of ideas here that have to be explored and understood. First of all, Jesus commands overall to love your enemies, extending a more radical understanding of love, and to love those who hate us, to curse you and abuse you. This is a new and more radical definition of love. He says to those who seek to hurt and harm us, our response should be love, to give love to them. So he's redefining and radicalizing the meaning of love. He does this effectively and perceptively because he is the Son of God, and his mind is much greater than any of us can imagine. And then Jesus makes here the following commands to love who seek your harm. He says to do that. Love people who hurt you. He says to offer the other cheek. Turn the other cheek if you are stricken. give your shirt to one who takes your coat. Turn the other cheek. Again, he's defining love in a more radical sense. He says, if someone strikes you, don't strike him back. Just turn your cheek. Give your shirt to one who took your coat. He says, if someone takes your coat, give him more. Give more love. So here we see specific examples of this new and radical form of love that Jesus tells of us and commands us here. He says, it's not enough to define your love as the sinners do who love those who love them. That's easy. That's meaningless, Jesus is saying. That's not real love. He's radicalizing and redefining love. Doing good to those who do good to you is easy and undemanding. But he says true, radicalized, and deepened love is found in loving your enemies and doing good and lending nothing in return. And doing good and expecting no good and lending, expecting nothing in return. Jesus is redefining and telling us of the true nature of love. Not the easy love of the family. Not the easy love of those who love us and do good to us. He says, that's not really love. He says, love is the inconditional love, perhaps, as seen in Jesus' passion and crucifixion, a love for all humanity and all women, and all generations, a love for those who hated Christ or are indifferent to him, a love beyond our understanding. So he is redefining love for us in loving your enemies and lending, expecting nothing in return. Not the easy love of the family and those who love us and do good to us, but he's really telling us love can be found in the example, in the unconditional love as seen in Jesus' passion and crucifixion, a love for all humanity and all men and women and all generations, a love for those who may have hated Jesus or been indifferent to him. It is a love beyond our understanding. And when Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, he is radicalizing and redefining for our limited human thinking what love is. And we should live out this fuller and more radical understanding of love is and live our lives in the image of this love. These verses tell how the disciples and all Christians are to return and respond to persecution by turning the other cheek, by loving their enemies. These verses suggest another pattern of conduct other than self-protection. Jesus also says here, no self-protection. If you're stricken on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. No self-protection. He suggests another pattern of conduct based on love. Jesus seems to say that the person should not demand the possessions back from the person who takes them. He says that we should not try to get things back from people. He says only when one expects nothing in return does one get thanks in the ultimate reward from God. It's only when we must expect, if we have a truly loving people, to give something and expect no return. And not only does one get thanks, but the ultimate reward from God. Ladies and gentlemen, please take a look at this essay I wrote. I think it's helpful in understanding this gospel passage, chapter 6 of Luke, verses 27 to 36. Take a look at it. And most important, my dear friends and readers and thinkers upon Holy Scripture, I hope I have provided some light upon the meaning of the words of Christ. I hope I have provided some help and understanding. And however lacking what I may have said, I urge you to give some consideration to the thoughts and ideas within this essay. And most important, most very important, I urge you to return to the words of Holy Scripture as I have sought and attempted to understand them. In every word of Christ is the mind of Christ, speaking in his Holy Scripture, and speaking from the mansions of heaven, teaching and instructing us all as faith and truth about what is true and what is false in thinking. His mind is so beyond ours that we'd have to read this passage 100, 200 times to get the full meaning and understanding of his new definition radicalized definition of love. Take a look at this passage. Take a look at my essay. Take a look 6:27-36 in my essay on this gospel passage. It's available on my website and on all social media. You might like it. You might find something of value to it. I would hope so. When I write anything about Holy Scripture and the words of Christ, I try to lead people to the true meaning and interpretation of these very important words of the Son of God, which cannot be stood sufficiently, we cannot understand the depth of the thinking involved in them. I hope you've enjoyed this broadcast. Thank you.